You have your Bibles, turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. We look at verse 16 through 18. The title of the sermon, The Mystery of the Ages. I've got to just tell you, this is unlike any sermon I have ever preached. This is not at all like a sermon that I would normally bring to you on a Sunday morning. As we go to the book of Revelation, before we read verses 16 through 18, let me just, before we get there, let me just read a couple of the verses at the beginning of the 13th chapter of Revelation. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, now the dragon means Satan. The dragon gave him power, his throne and great authority. This beast that's being referenced here in this first part of Revelation is the Antichrist. And his power came from who? The dragon, which is Satan. Then in verse 11 of that same chapter, chapter 13 of Revelation, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. This second beast is the false prophet. And his goal is to build up the worship of the Antichrist. Satan always has his counterfeits. His counterfeit to Jesus is the Antichrist. His counterfeit to the Holy Spirit is the false prophet. Did you notice that the false prophet was given authority to do many signs and wonders and even call down fire from heaven? He can only do that because God allows it. Amen? Because God allows it. Because God's purpose will be done. That takes us then to verse 16 of our scripture text. He, the beast, is speaking of, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. In 1931, Universal Pictures produced a controversial but wildly popular movie, many of you have seen it, called Frankenstein. Dr. Henry Frankenstein and his devoted servant and assistant Fritz, they worked together to piece together a manufactured human body. They secretly collected body parts from various sources, often robbing fresh graves. Dr. Frankenstein's intense plan was to create human life by putting all these body parts together and having electrical devices fall through and flow through this dead body until it became alive. The movie begins with the actor, Edward Von Sloan, telling these words to the audience. Listen to these words. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein. It is one of the strangest ever told. It may thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. If anyone feels that they should not be subject, that their nerves cannot handle such a strain, now is your chance to leave. By the way, now is your chance to leave if you'd like to. State censorship boards and Pennsylvania, New York, and Massachusetts, they cut out several objectionable scenes from the movie. One of the parts that they considered wrong, they said it was blasphemous. Dr. Frankenstein was so excited that his new creature had come alive. You may remember this, some of you have seen this part. He's so excited the new creature has come alive, he says, "It's alive! It's alive! In the name of God, now I know what it feels like to be God." Yeah. Well, that was considered quite blasphemous, and it was cut from the movie, and nobody had ever even seen that in the movie until the late 1990s. I guess our society became a little more tolerant, and that was put back into the movie. But that expression, that ideal, I know what it's like to be like God, according to Holy Scripture, isn't that the ultimate desire of Satan himself? Yes, it is. It is his desire. And a big part of the nature of the beast, the Antichrist, who is empowered by Satan, a big part of his nature is to also be in total control. He wants to control the global market system upon all humankind. It's an event that's prophesied, because we just read this event in the Bible. It's an event that results in the control of every human on the planet. The reality is this, the Antichrist, who's a product of Satan, wants to feel like God with total control of the world. We saw in verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on the right hand of the forehead. And it goes on in verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Actually, there's three options there. Most of the time, we always just think about the mark of the beast. But what it's saying is that it's the mark or the name or the number. You got to have one of them or you can't do anything in the world. Since the Apostle John first wrote these words in today what we now know is the book of Revelation, over the centuries, science and technology has brought about changes in our culture where we saw the rise of social security numbers, we saw the rise of fingerprint technology. In more recent years, we've seen the reality of national databases, national ID cards, video and electronic surveillance systems, barcodes, microchip implants. And our little cat, Allie Mae, she's got a microchip implant in her back. If she ever to get lost, they could just scan her and know that she belongs to the McLaughlins and bring that precious little tabby cat back home. But even beyond that, we're now focusing on even more modern technology called biometric scanning and biometric identification devices. Look at some of the latest headlines that's out there in the news regarding biometric technology. For example, in Electronic Frontiers Foundation website, they recently had an article titled, "Biometrics, Who's Watching You?" Yeah. Or here's another one. The future is in the palm of your hand thanks to biometric technology. Even USA Today had an article recently that said, around the world, governments are rolling out massive biometric identification programs. Did y'all hear that last one? Governments around the world are rolling out massive biometric identification programs. As I was preparing this sermon, just this past Thursday's edition of the Wall Street Journal had a story with this headline, "The Pros and Cons of Facial Recognition." The article talks about the potential loss of our civil liberties. In fact, it pointed out that the city of San Francisco had just passed a law forbidding local law enforcement agencies from using biometric facial recognition. Just by your face, they could recognize instantly the uniqueness of your face is instant recognition. Last summer in New York City, the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority installed cameras to scan motorist faces at bridges and tunnels connecting Manhattan to the other boroughs of New York. 5 seconds after a car enters a tunnel or a bridge, the driver's face is scanned and processed and compared to a state database. At the end of the tunnel or the bridge, the police are waiting to nab those that may have a warrant outstanding or parole violators or terrorist suspects. If you turn your head thinking you're going to avoid the facial scan, they even now have technology, you won't believe this, they have technology that just identifies a person by their ear. Believe it or not, that's how far advanced we are in biometrics technology. The federal government, according to this Wall Street Journal article, the federal government of the United States is calling for facial biometric scanning of all international travels that come through America's top 20 international airports. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security is assembling a biometric database called Homeland Advanced Recognition Technology. I want y'all just to make sure you're hearing this today. An agency of the government of the United States is moving forward with a program called Homeland Advanced Recognition Technology, where they will scan and store millions of faces from the web. Is your face on Facebook? Guess what? It'll be in this new database. The Wall Street Journal article ends with these words: civil liberties versus better security. Lawmakers should have this debate before a brave new world becomes the reality. Can I tell you that brave new world is becoming a reality today? It is. It's no longer difficult to imagine that the global identification system that is referenced in Revelation 13, 16, 17, and 18, it's no longer difficult to realize that that can be implemented in our lifetime. Amen? It's being implemented now, today. In fact, it's openly spoken of in many headlines if we're paying attention. In 2015, the United Nations made an incredible announcement with this headline. Look at this on, there it is. The United Nations plans to implement universal biometric identification for all of humanity by 2030. That plan, by the way, is called the 2030 Agenda. The science is already in place. Biometrics measurements of each human being, from fingerprints to facial measurements to patterns in the veins on your hand to your ears, all characteristics that are unique to you. Now look at this next PowerPoint. Think about this for a minute. We have a one world organization called the United Nations clinging to a vision of a global one world government system. And that organization is working with the world's leading biometric company and the world banking systems to employ technology to identify every human on the earth and to trace every transaction with an announced project known as the 2030 Agenda. Can you say a one world government under the leadership of the Antichrist? Can you see it coming? When we already have the United Nations saying that is our objective. With this initiative and with the technology that is out there, they will soon know where you are at all times, what you buy, who you are with, where you are going. They'll know it all. And of course, the leaders of the United Nations, the leaders just say, well, these advances are all for the peace and the security and safety of all mankind. You know that's what they'd say, don't you? That's what the Antichrist will say. The United Nations Secretary General, his name is Ban Ki-moon, He made a speech recently concerning the 2030 agenda. Listen to what he said. I'm delighted that more than 150 world leaders, as well as His Holiness the Pope, will join us for this new era. The leader of the United Nations has already declared that he has commitments from 150 of leaders around the world for the 2030 agenda, including His Holiness the Pope. He then references, he says, well, we're on a collective journey towards a better world for all people. A one world system, all for the betterment of everybody, so we'll all live happily. That's the deceit and the lies of the Antichrist, isn't it? Absolutely. The stated goal of the United Nations is to have legal identifications in the hands of everyone in the world by the year 2030. That is just 11 years from now. It'll be here so soon. The Bible tells us that an agenda very similar to this will be put into place, doesn't it? That's what the scripture that we read today, chapter 13, verse 16, 17, 18, is describing this. And now there is the technology in place to force every human on the planet to comply. Look at this next PowerPoint again. It's verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark. You got to have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is our reality. We are the first generation in history that is on the threshold of the implementation of the worldwide marking system. That's our reality today. Already, airports, even airports here in Dallas, you can go up and get on the plane by them just doing an iris scan. Just scanning the iris of your eye will get you approval to get onto the plane. It is possible that John's prophecy in Revelation 13 was of some futuristic biometric scanning device that would be passed over the retina or the forehead area, or the hand, digital fingerprint scanner, or DNA swath, or biometric palm recognition. All of that is because it becomes part of the world of the control of the Antichrist. Can you see that everything in the world is moving toward that? Can you see that today? Absolutely. But look at this next slide here, this next PowerPoint. What's the deal with the number 666? What does that stand for? Verse 18 tells us, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The number of the beast is the number of man. What does that mean? Would you permit me, everybody still with me today? Would you permit me just to touch a moment on the sciences of what's behind it? The element carbon occurs naturally as carbon-12, an isotope that makes up almost 99% of the carbon in the universe. Carbon-12 is the most abundant element in the universe. It's present in all forms of carbon life. In the human body, carbon is the second most abundant element by mass, second only to oxygen. Carbon-12 is also one of the five elements that make up the human DNA. Thus, carbon-12 is indeed the most crucial element for the existence of life and the existence of mankind. Now look at this next PowerPoint with me. Here's the reality. Here's the fascinating thing about carbon-12. Its mass number is 12. It contains 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. Are you seeing it? The chemical number of carbon-12, the stuff of life itself, the stuff of mankind, the chemical number is what? 666. 6. Therefore, it can be correctly stated with scientific accuracy that 666 is the main identifying chemical number of mankind. And John states this in Revelation 13 and 18 when he says, for the number of a man, his number is 666. So for over 2,000 years, after the prophecy, science and biblical scholars have begun to examine the 666 from the Bible, describing man and also describing the Antichrist, and his correlation to the very element that identifies you and I as human beings through our DNA, carbon 12. What if the end time marking system involves something as simple as the number that we already carry around in us? What if the number by which all humankind will be identified in the days of the Antichrist is simply the individual coding of the human DNA or other biometrically measured information unique to each human being? Think of it. Each human being already has a completely unique identifying system or number within our own bodies. There's no need to round up everybody and implant anything. The number is already there. Do you understand that? The number's already in us. You have a distinct mathematical identifier already in your body. You came into this world with that number. It's your exclusive DNA stamp. Anybody gone to sleep yet? It's easy to see how in Revelation 13 and 16, how it can become a reality. It can become a reality very, very soon, can't it? Amen. All that's needed is technology, devices throughout all the world, in places that are frequented, like banks and grocery stores and medical offices and workplaces, and maybe when you frequent the World Wide Web on your laptop or your iPhone. It wouldn't take long for every person in the world, every person on this planet, to pass through one of these devices, each having their own bio number recorded in a universal database. And once that's done, you have the number or the number of the beast, whether you got a mark on you or not. Do you understand that? If you don't participate, you can never buy or sell anything again. You won't survive. The mark, if there is some that would have the mark, perhaps is a biochip. And it becomes the Antichrist's power to control and dominate the world all through what? Through technology. Through biometrics. And the mark, the name of the beast or that number, it's going to determine if you live or die because you're not going to survive without it. It's been 2,000 years since the Apostle John first saw the vision of the Antichrist that he's writing about. But we have taken a monumental leap only in the last few years to see that we are now today actually on the brink of it being a reality. The powers of the world, by the way, the powers of the world could care less about the fulfillment of John's prophecy. They're just chomping at the bits to set in motion the global identification process that's set in place by the United Nations, known as the 2030 Agenda, the 2030 Agenda. Now, I know some of you may be out there listening to this today and asking the question, well, Pastor, that's just real great, but why does it matter to us? Why does it matter to us as Christians? Aren't we going to be taken out of this world before the beginning of the tribulation? Isn't Jesus going to call us home in the rapture of the church before the beginning of sorrows? Yes, He is. I do not think this church, our church, that the church of Christ, those that have all trusted in Jesus, will go through the tribulation. The rapture will carry us to heaven to be with the Lord before the tribulation. But these things matter because with all this technology and the political forces that are in the world today, it shows us how very close we are to that blessed event where Jesus steps out on the cloud and Gabriel blows his horn and we're gone from this place. Like our sign out front says, when Gabriel toots, we're going to scoot. And we are. It matters because we are a unique generation. No generation before us has ever come close to possessing the technology that can make that revelation prophecy a reality, a worldwide ID system. And it's here now. Jesus is coming back so very, very, very soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Master to return? Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. We're living out the last chapter in history and we're part of it. Many of you remember the story of Esther. You remember the wicked man Haman that promised to destroy all the Jews. He deceived King Ahasuerus in issuing a decree for the destruction of the Jews. Of course, Esther was the king's wife. And so her uncle Mordecai pleaded with Esther to go into the king and to beg on behalf of the people so they wouldn't all be destroyed. But Esther, if you remember, was very hesitant because she knew that if anybody approached the king that hadn't been asked to come into his presence, that could mean instant death for them. If you know the story, she initially told her uncle Mordecai, I'm not going to do it. But then he sent her one final message. You remember this message. The message to Esther that he sent, it said, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows, Esther, that your purpose in being in that kingdom and being married to that king is to save your people? That's what he was saying to her. Esther finally said, okay. Remember, she said, I'll do it. I'll go to the king on behalf of my people. Remember these words? She said, if I perish, I perish. Now, that's a brave young woman, isn't it? Look at this. Look at this next slide. Our calling. It's our calling. If we cling to life, we just might lose it. But if we're willing to lose our life in the kingdom work and the advancement of Jesus Christ, we will gain it. And perhaps many others will come to know Jesus as their Savior. We've got to have the courage of Esther. If people like me, it doesn't matter. If they rebuke me, it doesn't matter. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do all that I can because I know Jesus is coming soon. The rapture is imminent. And my sons and daughters and grandchildren, nephews and nieces and family members that are lost, that need Christ, I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to be interceding. I'm going to do all I can to be a bold witness to share that Jesus is the only hope for the world. He is the only hope. Oh, may God help us. Pastor, why don't we go through all this today? So that God would help us to have a sense of urgency and passion and understanding that the time is short. Let us redeem the time. Let us do all we can to share with this world that Jesus is coming soon. And to ask them, are you ready? May we be bold in living out this final chapter of the world. May we remember these words in this last overhead. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? Oh God, help us to be bold. Help us to have a passion. Help us every day to pray, God, put me in somebody's path that I can share the hope of Jesus. Is that your heart's desire? Oh God, help us by the Holy Spirit. Stir us out of our complacency. And to have that passion, we might not make it through the day. Isn't that true? He may come back before the sun sets tonight. Are you ready? Is Jesus your Savior? Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for the power of your word. The prophecy that's in the word of God is there for our understanding to help us, to prepare us to encourage us, to empower us. By your Holy Spirit, I pray for the empowerment to go out as a bold witness for Jesus. Father, if there's someone in this place today that's not certain that heaven is their destination, Lord, I pray now by the witness of the Holy Spirit that they would call out to you through Jesus, that they would invite Christ to forgive them of their sins and embrace Him as their Lord and Savior, and to walk in faith and to trust in you. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that it would be so. And we thank you today for the hope of the world that Christ is coming back for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray and ask you these things. Amen, amen, amen. Would you please stand with me? I was supposed to ask you to lift your hands up in the air and then stand up. I was supposed to ask you to do that because Nellie Knupp can't do that yet. Just put your hands up in the air, then stand up. See, that's a balance thing. But see, Nellie's doing so great. She's laughing about it. She's getting up because she's doing wonderful. I'm so glad she's here. Aren't you glad Nellie's doing great? Amen. Amen. Bless you. Stand up with your hands up in the air. It's so good to be in God's house. Visitors and guests, thank you for being with us today. If you're looking for a church home, we encourage you to come back and be with us. It'd be our honor to have you join us. I thank God for the Word of God. I want to tell you, every prophecy has come by, not by the will of man, but by God and by the Holy Spirit. And the words that we look at today, that prophecy, we see it happening right before our eyes, don't we? Any moment, any day. Are you ready? I'm ready. Oh, praise God. I am so ready for Jesus to come back. I am so ready for Him to come and bless us with His presence. Thank you for being with us. Brother Bob Hall, would you please dismiss us in prayer today, sir?